You may notice I'm looking slightly different to how I do in the rest of this video, and that's because the sound didn't work. So we're David and Karen have very kindly offered to splice this short thought in. One of the comments about my sermon when it was originally preached, which came out completely silent and looked like mine, was that it was energetic. I'm afraid this won't probably be quite so energetic. I want to begin with the same story that I began my thoughts with last night. Oh, it wasn't planned to be part of this sermon, but as John read yesterday, as John read the story of the centurion's servant, I was struck again by that verse that talked about the heirs of Abraham being cast out into outer darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This verse has been used to exclude and judge people for many years. And in fact, one of those who was very fond of this was the Reverend Ian Paisley in Northern Ireland. And Paisley used to preach in the marketplaces on a soapbox, and he stood up one day and he was in full flow and he said, "And the evildoers will be cast into outer darkness." And a voice comes up from the crowd, "Where's that?" And there's a response, "Madam, it is where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth." To which the response came, "What about those of us who don't have any teeth?" To which the Reverend replied, "Madam, teeth will be provided." It's a shame you can't also edit in a laugh track so that that actually came out like a funny story. But anyway, that's often how this verse in the middle of Jesus' affirmation of the faith of an outsider comes. And that's a prophetic word from Jesus. And I've said this before, and I told that Paisley joke about 6-7 years ago, so I'm obviously not having a problem with repeating myself. I want to talk a little bit about prophets again. Bonus points if anyone can remember when I last spoke about prophets. Anyone? Bonus points if anyone was listening. It was when I talked a little about the Magnificat and Mary's great song of prophecy in Luke's Gospel. This story also comes from Luke's Gospel that we heard of Jesus and the centurion's servant. Prophets are not foretellers. They're not predicting the future. They are, as John said in his beautiful prayers, they are those who are justice seekers and truth proclaimers. Prophets in the Hebrew tradition are those who bring messages of hope and judgment based on the behavior of the nation. So the message from Isaiah in today's readings from the Hebrew scriptures is, be faithful, stay faithful, and God will rebuild Israel. And those who are scattered will be regathered along with many other nations. It's the same when Jesus says, "I tell you, many who will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Jacob and in the kingdom, and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, with the heirs of darkness thrown into the outer dark, heirs of the kingdom thrown into the outer darkness." This is a calling to faithfulness, the faithfulness as shown by this centurion in seeking Jesus' healing for his servant. And it's found in the middle of an affirmation of the faithfulness of an outsider. And it makes it all the more striking. Just as the outsiders that are gathered in the story from Isaiah, in the prophecy from Isaiah, these prophetic words are neither a threat nor a prediction. They are hyperbole used to call us back to faithfulness. And by faithfulness, neither Jesus nor the author of Isaiah 60 are talking about religious belief, about falling in line with correct doctrine, or going to worship regularly. They are talking about obedience to the law of love. Faithfulness, obedience to the justice which is the heart of Jewish Torah, divine law. Obedience to the call to be people who are faithful to one another faithful to the earth, to creation, faithful to the precepts of justice and righteousness, and thereby ultimately faithful to God. Jesus' affirmation of the faith of the outsider, and some queer theologians will say that there's a very real possibility that the centurion and the servant is a story of romantic queer love, adding another dimension of Jesus' affirmation to the man and the healing of his companion. And Isaiah's statement that those strange people from over there will all have a part in the life of God's chosen people is about the transformation to which we are called and drawn by the divine. The radical inclusion of what Jesus calls the kingdom of heaven. Not a spiritual post-mortem destination, but the reality of living God's radical life of love here and now. As with most prophetic statements, both the author of Isaiah and Jesus are offering both an admonishment and an encouragement. We're admonished not to think that status, heritage, background, piety, or anything that we use to divide ourselves from others somehow give us a spiritual eliteness, but that the definition of a transformed life of a spiritual person is indeed living a transformed life. We're encouraged also that no matter what is happening around us, no matter how difficult things seem to be, our faithfulness will sustain us, and God's promise of presence is always with us. And that's certainly a message we need in these difficult and uncertain times.